This is a Dreamcast disc and is for use only on a Dreamcast unit. Playing this disc on a hi-fi or other audio equipment can cause serious damage to its speakers.
Dreamcast, up to 6 billion players.
Welcome back to the stage of history.
Why don't we play together?
Hey, it's time to make some crazy money. Are you ready? Here we go!
Please stop this disc now.
Hello and welcome to episode 52 of the Dreamcast Junkyard Dream Pod. Yes, we know we've been away for a while, but now we're back better than ever. My name is Tom, and over here to my right is Mr. Mike Phelan. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Tom.
How's it going?
Not too bad, Tom. How are you?
I'm hunky-dory. Good. And that's a word I've never said out loud. We're also joined by Mr. Rob Jones. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Tom.
How's the opulence going down at T3? Is it subsided yet?
No, it's just a non-stop smorgasbord of canapes and champagne.
Oh, yeah, that's how we like it. And, gentlemen, today we are joined by the newest member of the Junkyard team. His name is James. He is our YouTube overlord, who's come on board to take over that channel that... neither me or Aaron can realistically, you know, tame. But hello, welcome to the Dream Pod, James.
Hello, thank you, Tom. Nice to be here.
Yeah, excellent. I mean, for those people who obviously don't know who James is, James has been doing YouTube for how long now?
Well, probably before YouTube even started.
Yeah, yeah.
I was on VHSs.
Nice. What, editing together on a tape deck kind of thing?
That's it, yeah.
Fantastic, yeah. I mean, I was aware of your stuff before you came on board here with UK Rockers, and also, and It's Much More as well, nice. Which is your other channel. And yeah, that's why I invited you to come and, you know, do what you do now for us, because I was a fan of your work.
Thank you very much.
But that's enough. It's enough of a loving for now. I'm sure we'll come back to that. But let's get on with the show. We are here to talk about Dreamcast games and Dreamcast stuff. But first, we're going to talk a little bit about what we've picked up in the last couple of months since our last episode. Mike, I'm going to come to you first, and yeah. I'm going to ask you the immortal question of what have you played and or picked up?
So, Dreamcast-wise, I think we're going to be talking about it later on. So I'll leave that to the side. Mm-hmm. I haven't picked up any more games to on Dreamcast. As I'm sure people who've listened to the podcast in the last 6 months know, I am aiming to get my complete collection this year.
Oh yeah, the complete 100% all regions collection.
It's going to be a momentous event, isn't it?
It is. But I've been stuck on about.
I've been deadly serious.
Oh no, so am I. But I've been stuck on about 51 games to go for quite a few months now. So. I'll see what happens with that. And if they stop releasing games, it'd be nice. You know what I mean?
No, you've got to say that, Mike. Come on. Actually, on that point, what is the most elusive game? What's the most elusive game that you can't get for your collection at the moment?
I think it's there's quite a few which are sort of starting to be a little bit annoying. Cleopatra Fortune, which is a sort of a slightly cheap puzzle game, had a very, very limited run in Japan. And that's becoming quite an issue. You can find them, but they're expensive.
Yeah, I've never heard of that one, to be honest. So
yeah it's look up on YouTube. It's good. It's a good little puzzle game. It's nothing exciting, but it's all right. It's decent. And obviously the Groen No Tower Cargo Capital ones, which I probably just destroyed the language there. But the six like web mystery episodes that were released. But I think only three complete sets are known in the world, and I think Adam Kowalik's got two of them.
Of course he does.
Which is maybe if you. Maybe find me a message on Facebook, see what he'll do for you.
Well, the bizarre thing is that because I read lots of Adam Kowalik's posts many, many years ago when I was starting my Dreamcast collection. Because if you go onto any sort of forum, you see Adam Kowalik and suddenly you see you get connection. And I noticed that he'd basically put on a post that he'd got two complete sets. And I was in Super Tomato, which is a game store in Cardiff. I'm sure if people have been to Cardiff in the UK, that is. And, yeah.
Well, not the Cardiff in Germany, then.
Not the Cardiff in Germany. You know Cardiff in Germany. It's very, very, yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to make a joke about that. So, so I went into the Super Tomato once. I've only been once in my entire life. Went there randomly. And in the shop, Adam Kowalik was in the shop.
Oh, nice.
he'd come over to the UK to do some game shop sort of shopping. And so I sort of like, I was staring at this guy for quite a while going, I'm sure I know who he is.
I recognise that guy.
I recognise him. And finally sort of went up to him and said, I think I know you from somewhere. And I ended up realising who it was. And I actually asked him outright at the time. I said, if you ever want to get rid of one of those sets of those games, you know who I am.
Mm.
Yeah, nice. I haven't actually gone to the actual point of actually asking for him yet because the cost is going to be so high.
I never know. Mates rates and all that. Mates rates. You know?
Yeah, he's a friend of the podcast. Yeah, But yeah, to start you off topic there, isn't it? You can edit all that if you want, Rob. So the other games the last couple of months, I've got a Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Picked up a Switch on the same day you did, I think, Tom.
Really? Rightly. No way.
Yeah, I think I came home ready to ask everyone on Twitter, you know, what games to get, and literally I saw your post saying you got one as well. So,
how was that?
It's all right. It's not bad. It's not a bad console. Formula One 2017 is currently taking up my life. And Uncharted Lost Legacy.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. Uncharted Lost Legacy. What do you think of that? A bit more detail.
I haven't played a huge amount yet, but it is stunning looking.
They've done some good work, haven't they? Absolutely beautiful.
The first bit, when you first start the game, you are in India, and there's this little girl, possibly the most detailed character I've ever seen in a video game. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So is it better looking than Uncharted 4?
Yeah, I think it is so far because it's more detailed.
Right. I mean, because I'm literally playing back through Uncharted 4 again on another higher difficulty just because I love the game so much. And even now, and the game's what, a couple of years old now, or a year old, and I'm just looking at Sully's face thinking, God damn, those wrinkles are detailed. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wow, look at those wrinkles.
You know, the part of Uncharted before you get to, you know, globe trotting, and you're sort of the original bit where you're sort of the young character and also house as well.
The detail
from that, it's like that, but I've never seen a game realise the actual environment as well as Lost Legacy have in the first.
Oh, you're selling it to me, Mike. I'm really into like really good like looking graphics.
I love Uncharted anyway. Uncharted's the one reason I would own a PlayStation above any other console because Uncharted's just an absolutely fantastic series. Never been let down at all.
Cool. Anything else, Mike, you want to mention?
Not really.
Excellent. Well, shut up then. let's move on. We'll come to you next, James. Mm-hmm. What have you been playing recently or picked up?
Well, I've recently picked up a Wii U.
Okay.
So I thought I'd give that a go, seeing as they're getting reasonably cheap now, game-wise.
Now's the time to strike with Wii U, 100%.
That's it. So I've never played one really before, but yeah, it seems okay. I'm just having a look at it, and I might have to pick up Zomu at one point, because I like the look of that. Other games, I've just been picking up some Sega PC games, because we're still talking about Sega, because I picked up House of the Dead PC version, the big box version.
Okay.
So I used to have all of them big box-wise, but as you do when you move and change houses and locations, certain things get downsized. I've just got the jewel case of them now, so started to buy the big box versions again.
Yeah.
Sega Manx TT on the PC, Vampire Knights on the PS2. So yeah, just picked up a couple of those. And everything's away Sega, but I pre-ordered a mini SNES or a SNES mini.
Oh, how was that for you? How was the process? Did you sit up all night clicking over and over again to refresh? Or
well, no, I mean, got the mini NES. That was no trouble at all. But the mini SNES, I went on to, I don't know, can we name shops and brands?
Go for it. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
I went on to Smith's Toys, and they had out of stock, but click and collect. So I just went on click and collect, and I've now got to go and get it when it comes out.
Nice. So, that's pretty random.
I mean, I don't even know where it is near me anyway, the Smith's Toys. I don't know how to get there. But I've got to somehow collect it. But, that should be fun. But at least with this one, I think there's two controllers. So that should
be fun. Yeah, there is. Yeah. There's two controllers off the bat. It's nice and more expensive, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 70-odd pounds instead of 50-odd pounds.
Or instead of £500 as they are on eBay.
Yeah.
Oh, random little tale about the NES Mini. I went to see a friend a couple of weekends ago because he'd had a, or his missus had a new baby.
Okay.
And I was in his living room just like nosing around while he was making us a drink. And I just spotted behind the TV, just like shoved in the corner, a boxed NES Mini, like completely sealed and everything. And I was just like, I didn't know you were, he's not really into games at all. And I didn't know you were into games. He goes, I'm not. I said, well, why have you got this? He goes, oh, my sister got it for my birthday. I don't know why. And I was just like, have you even opened it? And he was like, no, I don't even want to play on it. So I was like, can I have it? And he was like, well, no, because it was a birthday present, so I'm not just going to give it away, but, you know. But we opened it and had a look at it, and it was, I kind of felt like I'd seen him off then, because I thought, oh, if he'd kept it sealed, maybe it was worth more. Or was it sealed? I can't know. It was just, there was a tab that was keeping the box, like, sealed. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't shrink-wrapped or anything. Anyway, sorry, I'm going off topic again. Apologies. have you picked anything up for the Dreamcast at all?
Dreamcast-wise, I picked up Crazy Taxi, at a car boot for 30p.
Nice.
And then I felt really bad because when I was giving the lady the money for it, I found a pound on the floor. So I think that was probably hers.
So, what, you picked it up right in front of her as you give her the 30p?
Yeah, I gave her the 30p and I put my foot on it. And
put your foot on it and scrape it away so she couldn't see it.
Yeah.
Yes. So really, the old lady gave you Crazy Taxi for 70p.
Yeah, that's it. And there was Virtual Striker there as well, so I picked up that. So that was also 30p because she didn't know what a Dreamcast was, because there's PlayStation games there, and she said, oh, it's PlayStation, it's got to be a pound. I was like, right. I said, well, what about these music CDs here?
Nice.
And she said, oh, 30p. Is that okay?
Oh, swindling old ladies at car boot sales. You'll fit right in here, actually, to be honest.
Shark of the car boot.
That's it. But there's always one lady that in my local car boot who charges retail prices. And she had Zelda, the NES gold cartridge, one of the gold cartridges. And she says, yeah, this is £100 at a car boot. And she said, well, I know how rare this is. And I said, well, yeah, so do I. But so I'm not going to take £100 to a local car boot to buy something that's been out in the sun since 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's just that I was going to record a video of my car boot sale funniness, because, and the intro would probably just been me laughing at her when she says the price of something.
Do you know what? Those kind of videos are actually strangely like therapeutic. I watch them quite a lot when I'm on the treadmill in the gym. I watched one the other day. Have you heard of The Nostalgia Nerd?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think I've heard.
Yeah, he actually agreed to come on the show at some point in the distant past, but we never got around to getting him on. But he did one recently of himself at a car boot sale, and he found a PC for a fiver that he bought so he could make a video out of it, which I'm sure will be quite interesting for nerds like me. But yeah, they are quite good, those kind of videos. Yeah. Anyway, Rob, let's come to you next. What have you been playing?
Yeah, on Dreamcast, it's been Ganryu, but we'll talk about that later. Mm-hmm. In terms of pickups, I picked up Pretty Fighter X on Sega Saturn.
Okay, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I don't know, I've sort of gone down a weird hole with you all know what it's like.
It's not like you, Rob, with these weird holes.
It's not a metaphor at all.
Not at all. Yeah, like, as people who have listened to the pod for a while will know, that I'm really into versus fighters, certainly not in terms of, like, skill. Like, as I've said before, I am certainly not a master, but in terms of collecting, playing unique versus fighters, then that's sort of a hole that I've gone down. I've gone down another hole within the hole in terms of all female roster fighters. So like, you know, SNK Gals fighters on the Pocket Color. This one, Pretty Fighter X. Yeah, it's a 2D fighting game. It's not particularly good by all accounts. But yeah, I don't know. It was one of those things. It sort of piqued my interest. The art style and the fact that it's all female roster. Sega Saturn, I love the Saturn, so anime-style cutscenes as well. So,
guessing that was a Japanese exclusive?
I think it probably was. I don't know. I can't speak for sure, but it sounds like it would be.
Is it not turned up yet? Are you waiting for it to arrive?
Yeah, no, sorry, I didn't mention that. So I'm looking forward to that arriving. Really quickly, wrap everything else up. What else have we been playing? Ooh. I can't talk about it, but I've been playing the new Metroid game on 3DS.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Nice.
Sorry, can't say anything, but because of embargo, but that that on 3DS.
That's a thing.
That's a thing, as the sort of trendy hipsters say now. That's a game. Yeah, that exists. and on PS4, to round it up, I've been playing Uncharted Lost Legacy, a bit like Mike, which I really enjoy. I think it feels really, really close. It's really odd, actually, the relationship between Uncharted and Tomb Raider. And obviously, like, Tomb Raider came first, and then Uncharted fed off that. But then Tomb Raider sort of fed on Uncharted because Uncharted was so good and such an engaging experience. And now it's really weird because this Lost Legacy, with its female protagonist, it feels like almost you're playing a Tomb Raider game. Like, there's times where I go, wow, like, literally, she's even dressed a bit like Lara from the new games. And some of how the collectibles are laid out and how she talks about them and stuff. It's like they're sort of trying to outdo each other in sort of, you know, being homages to the other one.
It's an interesting point. It's something I've not even thought about. Now you mention it, though, it's obviously quite apparent that's what's happening.
Yeah, I think so. But I'm having lots of fun with that. What else? Everybody's Golf, amazingly, on PS4. I don't know if you like your sort of casual golf games, but in the old sort of Neo Turf Master style, three button, you know, to hit the ball sort of situation, then that's a lot of fun.
I was going to say, I did have it on, well, I've got it on the Vita, you know, the previous
version. Oh, yes.
And it's funny you mentioned Neo Turf Master as well, because that's pretty much the only game I've been playing on my PSP. I've got a PSP Go with, like, the modded firmware on it, so you can put anything on it. So, yeah. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
No, and then lastly, literally the other day, a copy of Destiny 2 arrived, and I've literally just put that in and just shot a few things for about 40 minutes. Seems okay.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that. I've never played Destiny 1, to be honest, so it looks a bit overwhelming to me, but I've heard good things. So.
I think they've gone out of their way this time to sort of make it more approachable, because with Destiny 1, you were either in or you were very much out. And I think they've gone a bit easier now for newbies. But that's it. So, what have you been playing and picking up, Tom?
Okay, well, pickups-wise, as we discussed very briefly earlier, I picked up a Nintendo Switch. And I'm quite happy and impressed with it, to be honest. It's gone everywhere with me this week. I've taken it to work with me in my bag. I've been playing it in bed. I'm playing it right now. I'm not even joking. I'm playing Mario Kart 8 right now as we speak. I've got it in kickstand mode. So if I just seem disinterested in anything that any of you've got to say, that's why.
I hope you're playing as Big Fat Roy.
I'm not playing as Roy. No, I'm playing as one of the things. I'm playing as one of the things with, you know, like a mask on, like a little. It's like a henchman thing with a mask. I don't know what it's called. I'm not that well versed in Nintendo stuff, but so I got the Switch. I'm quite impressed with it. Everyone kept telling me to get Thumper, I got it, and I can't really get into it. And I also rebought Sonic Mania, even though I've got it on the PS4 because I'm an idiot.
Did I hear that it's more expensive on the Switch?
I can't remember. No, I think it was about the same. I think it was about, there was one game that was meant to be coming out today called Morphine or something, or. It's basically like a low poly version of No Man's Sky, like a sort of explore 'em up space game with space combat and stuff. But it's been pushed back to the 20th of September, so that's the next one I'll be getting, I think. The only thing I don't particularly like about the Switch is the fact that you have to just wait ages for new games to come out. Do you know what I mean? It's like nothing new's come out since I got it.
I think I've got Mario Kart and Zelda.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, I don't know. I think I've seen a few signs that a bit of momentum is building in terms of the third party. I mean, I know that the FIFA 18, that's like the sort of the fake new FIFA, isn't it, on the Switch? But I guess at least they're doing something for it.
Yeah. As I did a YouTube video last week or something where I talked a little bit about the Switch, and I said in that there's certain franchises that I play, like, almost religiously on the PlayStation 4, such as things like PES. And if PES came out on the Switch, there's no way I'd get the PS4 version. I'd get the one I can just take with me in my pocket. So it's like they're looking a gift horse in the mouth, if you know what I mean. You know,
I really don't understand. Like, surely all fat versions of PES and FIFA on the Switch is the ultimate experience. Like, can you imagine? Yeah. You just, oh, I've gone down to Starbucks, you know, I whip out the Switch and, yeah, I can have a couple of, you know, competitive games with PES.
Get a bit of Master League on the go while I'm waiting for a bus,
yeah,
or something.
Why not?
Do you know what I mean? That's going to be perfect. That would literally make the Switch the perfect console for me. I'd never put it down.
Waiting for Skyrim because even though I got the remastered Skyrim on the Xbox One, I am going to be getting Skyrim on Switch and I'm going to be getting Skyrim on the PSVR.
Was that the game that was showcased for the Switch?
Yeah, I think it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
No. Yeah, yeah. And they've recently done a couple of like preview articles on various websites like this week because it was shown again. So other than the Switch, a couple of pickups. Dreamcast-wise, I picked up Puyo Fever? It's like obviously you guys know what it is, but for those people who don't know, it's like a puzzle game where you have to like match blobs of like goo together to make them disappear. And that's the infamous game that allows you to change the Dreamcast system icons to like 3D models with a save file that you can download onto a VMU, which is pretty cool. I'll probably do some kind of article about that on the Dreamcast Junkyard in the near future. Playing wise, again, just like you guys, I've been playing the new games from Josh Prod, so I don't want to speak about them too much right now. The only other pickup I got, really, that's Dreamcast related, was that Ozfest 2000.
Oh yeah, just this morning, right?
Yeah, it came in the post yesterday, and it's a big thing. It's like you can't really tell from the photos that I put on the internet, but it's bigger than A4. It's like sort of, it looks like an LP cover, you know, that kind of weird sort of square shape. It's got like 45 pages. It's almost like a book of zine. And it's got logos on the front and back. It's got a Dreamcast logo on the front and the Jet Set Radio advert on the back. For those people who don't know, Sega sponsored Ozfest 2000 at the time, and they were giving away Dreamcast and whatnot. But this is a brochure from that event. So 17 years old. I can't believe how good condition it is. It's in. But the odd thing is that there's no real mention of the Dreamcast anywhere inside the brochure other than like on the front and back covers. And there's an advert for Heavy Metal, the music CD that came out for the film Heavy Metal 2000. And in that advert, there's a little notice that says, coming soon, Heavy Metal Fact 2 to the Dreamcast. And obviously we know it never came out on the Dreamcast, but it makes me wonder if it was ever in development, and if it was, like, where is it? So that might be another little mystery to get stuck into at some point in the near future.
I saw those pictures of Ozzy being... as well as the demon on the front.
yeah. Ozzy Osbourne looking incredibly young and not at all completely and utterly ravaged by time and drugs like he is now. So, those are my my pickups, Switch and a couple of Dreamcast bits and pieces. Yeah, it's all good in this room at the moment. So, guys, let's move on to our first topic of discussion. And it kind of blends into something we've already like kind of spoken a little bit about, of Sonic Mania, and that is that Scott, our Australian correspondent, has put up a rather nice story on the Dreamcast Junkyard main site about this Sonic CD Android version being videoed running on a Dreamcast. Now, the video itself shows, well, it's a bit of a mess, to be honest, the game running on a Dreamcast, because it's basically an Android port. But it basically just shows what is possible on the hardware. You know, if it has some more work done to it, then we could very well see in the future a version of Sonic CD, which then could potentially open the door for Sonic Mania. Yeah, well, I was just sort of sat one day and I thought to myself, oh, I wonder if you could put Sonic Mania on the Dreamcast. It's not doing anything that you couldn't technically do on a Dreamcast, as far as I know, as a complete layman, you know what I mean? as far as computer programming does, it doesn't look like it's doing that anyway. Obviously, I watched the video that Digital Foundry did, and that shows, you know, what kind of weird processes are going on in the background of Sonic Mania that aren't in the old Sonic games. But I sent a tweet to Christian Whitehead asking, you know, is it feasible on a technical level, you know? And he replied saying that overall it would work. I'm reading directly from his tweet here. Overall, it'd work. Some of the graphics would need to be done differently, and audio would need to be crunched down a bit to fit in RAM. So that's coming from the man himself, and who better to answer that question than the tax man, as he's known online. I don't know if you guys watched the video that Scott put up on the Junkyard.
Yeah, I saw that video, yeah.
Yeah. It looked a bit like, you know, the debug mode where you can just change into anything.
Yeah, on Sonic.
Yeah. With the Sonic spiders kind of cycling through loads of different random blocks and things. But, yeah, like he says in the article, this guy, his name's Sonic Blur from the Sonic Retro forums. He's saying, you know, don't expect this game to be coming out anytime soon. It's just a proof of concept at the moment. But yeah, just wanted to get your thoughts, if any, really, to be honest. Mike?
Well, I think it's another sign that games are coming to the Dreamcast from areas we didn't think about before. You know, just the possibilities are endless. I'm sure we're going to talk about new games coming up soon, so I don't want to spoil that conversation. But
yeah, and I think it shows as well, like, you know, that the Dreamcast, you know, it's got this reputation, always has this reputation, that it's very open in terms
of a versatile machine.
Versatile, yeah.
Sorry, James, you were going to chime in there with something?
Well, yes. When I saw that video and that article, I just did a search myself and just found out that people are trying to get Sonic CD on a Mega Drive, on a Saturn. You know, they've got the intro appearing on a Saturn, on a Mega Drive, and a 3DO, a 3DX. Not 3DO.
I was going to say 3DO.
That would be something.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Panasonic 3DO or a Philips CDI, gosh. But, yeah, so it's just... It just seems like people are trying, because Sonic Mania's come out, they're just trying all sorts. So it's quite impressive. That article as well, and a good read and a good watch as well.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the Saturn as well, because when I put that tweet up and obviously people saw it, then people were kind of jumping into the conversation and asking Christian, why don't you put it on the Saturn? Put it on the Saturn. There were so many people saying put it on the Saturn, but he didn't reply, obviously, because he's probably got far more interesting and better things to do with his time than answer people on Twitter. But... yeah, I think there's quite a big feeling in the community that Sonic Mania feels a lot more like a Saturn game than it does a Mega Drive game.
Mm.
If that makes sense, just because of the kind of the elements that are stolen from, or not stolen, but kind of taken from, like Sonic R, you know, the sort of the little bonus stage, and just the polygonal enemies at the ends of stages, which are quite impressive. Yeah, it's doing more things than that you could expect to be seen on an actual Mega Drive. So I think they have got a valid point. But yeah, if you, the listener, want to see what we're talking about, if you just head over to the Dreamcast Junkyard, the main site, and scroll down a few articles, you'll see the article we're talking about. Yeah, there's a big picture of Sonic the Hedgehog there, so you can't really miss it. Anyway, speaking of new games, or more new games, the time is rapidly approaching for the launch of Josh Prod's new releases. And we've had the pleasure of playing most of them. And the ones that we've reviewed so far on the site are a Flashback, 4x4 Jam, Ganryu. And there is another new game called Hermes, which is not from Josh Prod. That's actually from Retro Guru, but we'll talk about that a little bit as well in a minute. But yeah, obviously we three, myself, Rob and Mike, all reviewed a different game on this list. Or Mike, you reviewed two. You reviewed Hermes as well, didn't you? I reviewed Flashback. I'll speak a little bit about that in a second. But Rob, should we start with what's arguably the worst and improve as we go on? So, can you tell us a little bit about Ganryu, please, Rob?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so Ganryu is a 1999 hack and slash that was originally released on Neo Geo.
Was it ever released on Neo Geo CD? Was it just cartridge only?
I think it was just cartridge only. Mm. Don't quote me on that, but I'm quite sure that it's cartridge only.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only aware of Ganryu, the game, because it's on this 161 aftermarket cart that I have for the Neo Geo AS. Well, it's an MVS cart converted onto the AS. And so I played it before Neo Geo thanks to this cart, and I was aware of essentially how bad it was as a game before coming into this. But equally, I'd like to say at this point, I'm quite into Japanese culture, specifically historical Japanese culture, feudal Japan. And so I was aware of the sort of the characters and the events and the life that the game sort of riffs on to build the game. So I sort of had this split opinion almost, whereas like I was really interested in the lead character of this game, who is Miyamoto Musashi, and the actions that he did historically, but also I had this very bad opinion of the actual Neo Geo game. So I thought I was pretty much perfectly positioned to review this. But yeah, it's a 2D hack and slash. It scrolls more often than not left to right, and you can select from two characters. One of them is Miyamoto Musashi, who's a legendary Japanese swordsman, the most legendary of all. He was a real character, a real person. He was undefeated in over 60 duels, and the most famous of those duels takes place on Ganryu Jima, which is Ganryu Island, which is where the name of the game comes from. On there, he defeated essentially the sort of his arch nemesis or main rival, Sasaki Kojiro. And that's kind of his most famous duel. So they take the name and they take the character from that. And then this game sort of follows on from that. And the very basic plot is that Kojiro has returned. He's been resurrected from the dead. And he's kidnapped Musashi's partner with his army of ninjas. And you've got to select Musashi or Suzume, who is like this token female character that you can select. And with one of those two characters, you've got to hack and slash your way through five levels, sort of cutting down various ninjas and completely randomly hawks and a single toad.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. Cool. You like, you couldn't make it up. Like,
I was gonna say, does the toad have any significance? I mean, does it just appear once in one level? Because I've only played the first level, so I can't really
it's
comment.
In the second level. And it's in an underground part, and there's a toad it's just literally sitting there on the ground. But when you move towards it, it's like a bit like the toads from Castlevania, do you know, like from Symphony of the Night,
right,
where I think it's in the Hall of Clocks, and you have those little jumping sort of frog men or something that come to get you. It moves a bit like that, but literally, I think I only actually come up against one of them. And you easily dispatch it, but it does, when it hits you, it knocks life off you as if you've been attacked by a ninja. So anyway,
on the subject of ninjas, they just kind of constantly kind of appear in midair, don't they, and just constantly keep, you know, respawning over and over again. You can get hit by them when even if you're jumping through midair, one will just like appear in front of you and hit you and just. Well,
I'm not speaking very well, probably because I've had a fair few beverages this evening. If you want a more sort of like structured take on it, then please do read the review on The Yard. But yes, the reason it's a bad game, let's hit that. The reason it's a bad game is, as Tom says, it's incredibly cheap. It was slapped together very, very quickly, you can tell. I mean, at the end of the game, the credits, I didn't count, but there's like a smattering of people involved with the game. It was literally, you can tell that it was bolted together, and it plays that way. It's incredibly cheap. The enemies, which are literally ninjas, a hawk, and a toad, the ninjas literally just appear constantly above your head, just spawning constantly. And as Tom says, you can be mid-jump, and if you just get unlucky and one spawns at the wrong time in the middle of the air, there's nothing you can do. You'll hit into them and you'll lose some life. And it's just incredibly repetitive. All you do is literally walk, or occasionally you can slide, but there's not really much use for it. Left to right or right to left, slashing at this infinite supply of ninjas until you get to the end of the level and you face a ridiculous boss, which they look awful, they don't look like they should be in the same game, they break the tone, and you do that five times in five different levels and then the game ends.
I need to see this toad now. I need to get good. I need to get good at the first level and see this toad. But I think your review kind of nailed it. Basically, I couldn't have put it any better myself. Obviously, I didn't have the historical knowledge that you've got, or the background information on this. I didn't even know it was based on a real.
Look, this guy deserved better. I mean, maybe I shouldn't comment because I'm not Japanese, but I'm sure that if you asked, you know, 10, 20 Japanese people, they'd know who Miyamoto Musashi was. They'd know about his duel on Ganryu, and he's kind of like a hero, you know. He's like King Arthur almost. He's the undefeated Ronin who embodies, you know, the Japanese warrior spirit. And in this game, he's just completely misused and reduced to this ugly walking sprite that has to hack an infinite amount of ninjas and occasionally a toad. The toad is the real star.
They should have
just called the game Toad Attack.
I think this toad's become the new mascot of the yard. It's something good.
Right, so not the most shining review, I don't think.
If anyone's interested, read the review, because I do go into a lot of detail and there's a lot of cultural background. But let's move on to better games.
Let me go next, Mike. We'll come to you. Your two in a second. I want to talk a little bit about Flashback. Flashback, people. It's on the Dreamcast. Oh my god! I remember playing Flashback for the first time on the Mega Drive, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing with these like cinematics coming from a cartridge. And, you know, when I booted it up for the first time on the Dreamcast, it was like that all over again. You know, it's like, but it's even better because it's got an extended intro sequence, yeah. You know, from like the Amiga version. And it's got like, when the first time I went up to one of the familiar NPCs that you speak to in the game and was expecting just to have text, there was a proper like voice audio track. I was like, I didn't know that any other versions had a proper voice audio track. And they're really well acted as well. So basically, this version of Flashback is kind of like a mashup of all the previous versions, or rather, they've taken the best bits from the previous versions and melded them together to create this Dreamcast game. And for those reasons, I firmly believe this is probably the best version of Flashback there is. Previous to this, I thought the Jaguar version was the best, but this is better, far better. It's just the extra, you know, the voice tracks, you know, and the extended cutscenes and. It's just perfect. Not only that, but you can kind of save on the fly, you know, with a VMU. So you can save your game mid-level and then come back to it. In other games, you couldn't. You had to use a password.
I read your review and I can remember as well, there's something about that you can mess with filters and how it looks as well.
Yeah, so you can put kind of like a, you know, like on emulators on PC, you get those like graphics filters, like 2x cell or whatever it is. Or, and it makes everything just a bit, like blurry and blends all the pixels together. It's kind of like that. That's what it's set on by default. You can change it to be like completely off, so it's just like you can see all the pixels. But you have things like scan lines on there as well, different like widescreen and like narrow screen modes. You've also got two original versions of Flashback for the Mega Drive bundled on the disc, the Japanese version and the Western version. The only differences I can see are that the instructions on the menu screens are in Japanese. I don't know if there's any other difference than that. But it's a nice extra, and the version that I actually reviewed was a kind of like a, it wasn't like a, an early build, it was like a, it was a, you know, ready to go, but I spoke to Chewy, the guy who is working for Retro Summers, he's doing the coding for Xenosider. He actually worked on this port, and he was saying that they are looking at potentially trying to get the cutscenes from the Sega CD version or the Mega CD version, include those as a bonus item that you can unlock.
Cool.
And also the soundtrack. So a couple of things, but it's just really cool to see something like this with so much effort put into it. It's like it's not just like turn the Dreamcast on, boom, there's a start screen, and then you start playing. It's like there's actual menus with like extra stuff, you know, extras as they're known. So that's what really impressed me, you know. And it's just Flashback, and I love Flashback, and it's brilliant. I can't speak highly enough about it. It's just a fantastic port. I can't wait for people to get it finally when it starts shipping in October, to like see, you know, because there'll be people who've never played this game before. They may have heard of it, but to go into this game again blind and not know anything about it and get to know the storyline and the characters and the different locations that you end up in, it's just a...
I think it needs to be a template almost for how people should look to. I mean, from reading your review, like, how many times can we say, hey, look, this has been ported to Dreamcast and it's the best version? I mean, just recently with these Neo Geo ports that Ross hates so much, and I can understand why, like with Breakers, like, that did not run as well as the original. Ganryu, it was a very good technical port actually, and it did run in terms of playability really well on the Dreamcast, but it still wasn't as good. But with Flashback, you can go, wow, you know, look, it actually runs exactly how it should, and it's got all these extras. It's like the best of all the different versions they ever made, and there's all this attention to detail and extras thrown on top. Like, that feels like, you know, like that's a genuine port.
Yeah, it's just it was a nice surprise to like put it on. And as I say, I mean, I've played various console versions. I mean, I played the Jag version and the Mega Drive version. I did have the 3DO version, but I never played it because I'd already played the other version, so I didn't bother. But then putting this in and then seeing those extended cutscenes and seeing bits I've never seen before and I was just like, wow, it's not a new game, obviously, but it's another angle on an old familiar game, things I'd never seen before. So people who have only ever played the Mega Drive version or the SNES version or the JAG version, they'll see things that they'd never seen before, and how it was really meant to be shown, like on Amiga and on
they've
PC.
Done it respectfully, you know. And I think that, my personal opinion, when I see that someone actually cares for the original source and then they treat it with respect, I'm going to warm to it far more, and it's going to, you know, it'll improve the chance of me picking it up.
So yeah, that's my kind of experience with Flashback. I'm well impressed, and out of the like multitude of games that are coming this October from Josh Prod, that's the only one I've actually ordered. Even though I've got like the review version, I want that game in my collection just because it's that good. So what does that tell you? Yeah. Anyway, sorry, I've waffled enough. Mike, let's talk about the games that you have played and reviewed for us. The floor is yours.
Yeah, so I reviewed a third of the Josh Pod games, the new Josh Pod games. Obviously, I think they're releasing Zia and Stormwind, they're releasing?
I think Stormwind's getting another re-release with a PAL cover,
Which are great games themselves. But the other new game to Dreamcast, as it were, is a game called 4x4 Jam. Which is originally was a, I think it was an iOS phone, iOS game, I should say, by Invictus Games, which is a Hungarian developer. And I think it ported to the PSP as a PSP mini game. And this has caused some confusion online when I put this on before. I think people think it's a full PSP game. It's not a full PSP game. It was a PSP mini, which was like one of the sort of downloadable Xbox arcade style games for the PSP.
Do you know what, Mike? This morning, randomly, I was just browsing on the PS Store looking to see if they'd updated the PS Plus stuff on the Vita, and I just typed in 4x4 Jam to see if it was there, and it was. So I downloaded it and bought it, and it's identical to the Dreamcast version. I don't know what else I was expecting, but
it's not a people have sort of seen PSP. And they've gone, oh, next up, we're going to get Grand Theft Auto Liberty City Stories, or we're going to get
Outrun.
Yeah, there's going to be games on there, which we're not, let's face it. But that doesn't take away from the fact that it is the first 3D indie game release for the Dreamcast. Proper 3D. It's beaten the Slave, which seems to have got lost again. It's the first full 3D game on Dreamcast. And it runs really well. There are some obvious things they've done to make it run that well. So there is quite a bit of drawing, and you will see a lot of. There is an option in the game you can actually change it so it doesn't draw in quite as much, or you can like change the amount of grass which is drawing in game. When you first play it, it does get a bit jarring. I think we put a video up obviously on the group and on the YouTube page, but it does look quite jarring. You get used to it really quickly. I've got ahead of myself anyway. The game is basically it's an off-road racer. It's quite similar in concept to 4x4 Evolution.
Yes,
Also very similar in concept to Motocross Madness.
Did you ever play Hardcore 4x4?
I did, yes.
It reminded me of that as well. No, not at all. No, Hardcore 4x4 is
Hardcore
terrible.
Hardcore 4x4
has a frame
rate of 1 per second. It's the most.
one per year, more like.
It was worse than Cub Drive on the Jaguar.
Whoa. Hang on.
Never, ever, bad mouth the Jaguar. Wash your mouth out, sunshine.
Oh, it's royalty around here. Okay.
how very dare you!
it just reminded me how much I hate that game. That game was looked so amazing in CVNG back in the day, and I when I first played it, I was so disappointed. I genuinely thought 3D games were some kind of mystical land.
Can you imagine trying to stroke that cat? You cut your hand off, wouldn't you?
I swear textureless tears are running down that cat's face right now, Mike.
Oh, dear. Fucking Christ, Jesus. Where was I? Where the fuck was I? Get back to the point. Dreamcast, everyone, serious. So it's not like Hardcore 4x4 at all. But it is that off-road sort of game. It's really free. It's got a free environment. It's very much like Motocross Madness.
Yeah, yeah.
I also had flashbacks to Smuggler's
Run.
Yeah,
a little bit. Yeah, the some of the modes are. Yeah. I think it's a lot more. I think what they try to do. I'm sort of assuming this, but I think the developers wanted to make a sort of a sandbox type game where they could sort of do any kind of race within the environments they've created. And they have, and it has actually worked really well. Don't expect sort of, you know, handling akin to a modern racer, because it's not going to happen. There are some weird bits. So, for instance, when your car starts before, as it, you know, goes to 3-2-1 and starts off, the cars randomly slide on the surface.
Yeah, I noticed that as well.
After a while. But there's loads of races. I think the championship mode has 32 races.
It does, yeah.
There's five environments. I wrote a review on this. I really should know the answer, shouldn't I?
But check your facts. Fake news.
So it's got some real good depth in it, and it's just a fun game. But again, and I said this in a review, I don't want people to sort of approach it and think they're going to, you know, get game in Nirvana, or get a game which is going to be at the level of something like Four Wheel Thunder or something like that, because it's not that good. But it's really impressive. Some of the things they do in it. It's got a full cockpit view, in which I can't think of any other Dreamcast game, I don't think, which has got a properly, fully 3D in-car view.
Has Buggy Heat got one?
Buggy Heat has got one. Buggy Heat's also got that weird camera where you look down on the driver itself and look down at the gear stick whilst you're driving, which is...
Oh, yeah, kind of yeah, weird. Yeah, yeah.
I think the best thing about Buggy Heat is the replay at the ending, isn't it?
No, the best thing about Buggy Heat is that one of the cars is called Drank Schenker.
Well, another odd thing, sorry to interrupt, but whilst we were talking about Buggy Heat, if you've got the demo disc, that's the only one that works via VGA. The retail version doesn't work on VGA, but the demo disc version does. There we go.
That's weird, isn't
so
it?
So bizarre. What is it on one of the Dream On demo discs?
Yeah, I think it's number 2.
Does it look the same as the full game?
No, it looks stunning. It looks a lot better.
Another fact about Buggy Heat. So we just told us the Buggy Heat section, the Buggy Heat segment. I've got one of the what are they called, Dreamcast Express discs. I think me and Mike were actually in a bidding war at one point before we actually knew each other for the full set of the Dreamcast Express, which for those people who don't know was a series of for partners in Japan, like the Dreamcast Partners project, where you had to like sign up to it and you got sent a demo disc in the post or something like that anyways. But one of the discs has got a demo of Buggy Heat on it, and it's so different to the final game. It's actually bizarre. For a start, it looks better, it handles better, the controls completely different. Like you can move the view around, you know, like when you can on like most like twin stick games. If you use the analog stick, you can move the camera around like fully 3D, 360 degrees. It's really weird. But then in the actual game that was released, all that's gone. It's all taken out. So yeah, it's quite interesting. And anyway, sorry, I hijacked your little
that's right.
Section
I like
there, Mike.
So that's fine.
Should we make the Buggy Heat section a
I think
every
we should
podcast
have a Buggy
now?
Heat section. Not only that, I think we should have an entire episode dedicated to Buggy Heat.
I can only play the demo. I can't play the full bloody game.
Yeah, but you can play it in VGA, so you're better than all the rest
of
us.
Are you sure the game can't be played in VGA via DCX? Because I'm sure I've played it VGA.
No. Well, the only game I played on DCX is Alien Front Online, but yeah.
See, I thought the only game that you could not trick into booting into VGA by any means possible was Deadly Skies.
I think Soul Fighter as well.
There's a few different ones as well. Some of the Japanese ones you can't do. And I think Giant Killers might be one as well.
Oh, well, I mean, we're not going to lose any sleep over that, are we?
My friend wrote a part of a script for Giant Killers, if that's the football manager.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is, Wow, another fact. Look at that. Factoid.
Well, because it was only Factoid down the road Central. From where he worked, and he was like, yeah, you pop in and wrote a bit of script for it.
It doesn't sound like the most professional thing in the world, does it now?
Down the road. Fernando.
Right, I need to throw my two-penneth into the ring now. I actually edited the English descriptions on the back of all the Josh Prod game boxes. So that's
very nice.
Because he sent me he said, "Do these read okay?" And I was like, "No."
So any errors, you know where to send the hate mail to?
Yeah, whether or not he listens to me or not, I don't know. But I was like, I read it, I was like, mate, that makes no fucking sense. What does that mean?
Oh, I don't know if I can top that, but being the named character in House of the Dead 2, I think that's quite cool.
Where?
What? So, say that again. Who did?
Well,
what?
When House of the Dead 1 came out, I've just recently done my playthrough video, which is on the Dreamcast Junkyard. YouTube.
Nice plug. Slick. Nice plug.
But when I played Housestead 1, I loved it so much, I wrote a letter to Sega Europe and asked if I could be a character of some kind in a sequel, if you ever do one. And they said yes. So the name of the character in Housestead 2 is called James. So whether that's a homage to me, because I said I just want to be in the game, they put me as the character. Because they sent a letter back and said, yeah, we'll see what we can do.
Possibly the craziest fact.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is absolutely awesome. I hope it's true. I mean, I hope it's Sega why Europe they called
it. If that actually is the reason they put the name in. Because that'd be amazing.
There's nobody at Sega Europe who knows what a Dreamcast is.
they know enough to block a book, but hey, not snuck it into that again. But yeah. Where were
that's
we?
So cool.
4x4 jam.
4x4 jam. 4x4 jam. That's the one. It seems a bit moot now. We don't want to play Buggy Heat instead. But no, it's the game is, you know, it's a really good game. It's fun. It does everything it needs to do. The racing's really good. There's a jam mode, which is basically you've got to go to a checkpoint and then get to the next checkpoint before your rivals. It all works pretty well. Just don't expect anything sort of earth-shatteringly different. Yeah, it's good. I would say as well that the one thing I will say about Josh Pod Games, the cover art's really, really good on all of them. I've been really impressed with just the artwork for all of the games.
High quality. Yeah, the production values of all the games is like top notch. So can't really knock them for that. The other game that you reviewed recently for us, Mike,
it's Hermes, which is Hermes is a very difficult game to talk about because it's basically about eating lots of food, pooing, and jumping over platforms. And that's not an unfair description of the game.
No, it reminded me a little bit of Flappy Bird, but in a different way.
It is
way.
That kind of
you
like
I mean?
Really... I don't want to say the word cheap, because it's that's not why I come across as, but it's like a real sort of simple... you can imagine it being an Endless Runner type game if it hadn't had the platforms sort of put in. But basically the concept is that you play Hermes, who is a chef, a French chef, and he gets a bit hungry. And so he decides to, as French chefs are prone to do, to kill the chicken, which is, I'm guessing, living with him in some way.
So it's not a delivery game of any kind, no?
It's a what, sorry?
Not a delivery game.
A delivery game?
Like Hermes.
Well, if it was a Hermes game, I would imagine that what you'd have to do is smash the box up.
Yeah. Can I say one thing? I have to deal with my Hermes on a daily basis. I want to say one thing. Fuck you, my Hermes. They are the most disgraceful company. They are endlessly annoying me with their constant annoyances, and
I see Hermes, all I think of is that bit at the start of the original Ace Ventura when he's delivering the package.
I don't want to like kind of steamroll what you're going to say, Mike, but the one takeaway I have from Hermes is the music.
So I was going to get onto the music. I think we need to leave the music to the last bit, Tom, because I think it's so good, I think we need to leave it. So the chicken escapes, he legs it, and then Hermes basically chases after him over random retro-styled levels. The artwork's really nice. It's like a sort of 8-bit, 16-bit sort of mix-up. It's pleasant, it's colourful, it's quite simple, it's quite, you know, it's fun. Nothing particularly amazing.
There's only like one button, isn't there?
D-pad. I think there's 32 levels, but it's all, you know, very much. It's quite difficult as well. I find it quite challenging after a while. I think you've got to make sure you don't eat too much food because you will soil yourself.
Which is an interesting concept because initially you would think that you would have to collect them donuts, but you're actually encouraged to avoid them, aren't you? Because if you eat too many,
you have
enough
to have the food to have the health meter. It's a nice little concept where they sort of done that realistic approach to eating food. Don't eat too much.
I really wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting that, to be honest. And also the little sort of toilets that are dotted around the levels where you have to, like, if you run into them, you can sort of reset your kind of hunger level, which is again.
It's nothing, you know, it plays a lot to me like Alice's Mom's Rescue. That sort of quite simple platformer. But. You know, the game could be terrible or the game could be the best game in the world, but there is one thing about this game which makes it instantly purchasable, which is a soundtrack.
Oh, just before we get on to that, Mike, one little tiny thing I just want to mention. And that is when we initially kind of showed this game on the Dreamcast Junkyard and obviously put it on Facebook and Twitter and whatnot, there were a lot of comments, that a lot of people who were commenting in a negative way, saying that this isn't the kind of game you want to see on a Dreamcast. But at that point, the game wasn't even out yet and nobody really kind of knew what it was. And I was quite surprised, A, when I read your review, and B, when I played it myself, at the amount of like adult toilet humour in the game, like no pun intended. It's even like references to stuff like Monty Python. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's like what? It's, I didn't expect that. And it's really cool. So before you cast judgment on looks alone,
I think it's an important point to say here, Tom, as well, because I think there has been quite a bit of discussion this week on the group and other places I've seen it as well about people saying that Dreamcast games, indie games, aren't good enough to be indie games. Can I just say one really quick thing to people to say that? If you want to make a better game, make it yourself. You know, these people have gone out, they're making games, they're not forcing you to buy the game. You know, they're putting a hard time into games. Yes, some of them are not pushing the Dreamcast. You know what I mean? It's a crazy thing to think that because it's an indie game, it has to push the console. Has no one played indie games on a PC? Last time I checked,
it's a valid point. I mean,
PC, indie wise,
it's a valid point. You only have to fire up the Switch eShop. How many indie games? Yeah. How many 2D pixel art indie games are on there? And on that note, Mike, as well, I just want to like add to you, what you've said there. A lot of these indie developers who have not like used Kickstarter or anything like that, they do it out of their own pocket in their spare time. Just like we create this community and this podcast and this website and these videos, we do it in our spare time. You know, we go to work and then we come home and we do this. So for someone to sit there who does nothing to just kind of basically say, oh, that's shit, it winds me up. And it's part of the reason why I've actually remove myself from social media because of that. I just can't be bothered seeing that anymore.
It's a negative sort of, but there's a lot of negativity about stuff, which I think is a bit of a shame. You know, we're at the yard. We're quite open to, if we don't like something, we'll say it. You know what I mean? We've on the group many times in the past, we've questioned some of the indie developers and about, you know, the fact we don't think that what they were doing was particularly above board, and we've called them out when we have done that.
Don't mention Hunting Engine.
Damn it, you mentioned it, Tom. You know what happened last time? Those letter bombs did not go down well. Anyway, so we've got to make sure that, you know, and obviously with things like with Rob's review of Gang Ryu, you know, complete honest review. We're not going to, you know, give reviews out that are just, you know, praiseworthy.
Yeah, this is great. Buy it.
You didn't write the review for Kane Lynch, too, did you?
I hate that. But yeah, I think it's important that people don't lose sight of the fact these are indie games. They're not made by, you know, companies. They're not made for a console, which is sort of the highlight of everyone's gaming life now. It's for us, but we're a bit sad. But, you know, I get annoyed by it. There's no game, with the exception of maybe Frog Feast, on the indie games is actually completely and utterly terrible. That's the good games. And I think people need to be a little bit more realistic.
I think people need to go, sorry, I think that's, you know, it's a fabulous point, Mike. I think people need to be more respectful towards creators and not critics. Like,
yeah. And when we're on that subject, I know this is going off subject a little bit, but people who put posts up about wanting to, you know, get a download for the latest game coming out, an indie game. I've seen a couple of people asking for sort of ISO zone
Stormwind and stuff like that.
Buy the game. You know what I mean? It's utterly ridiculous. If people are making these games and they're going to the effort of making them, buy them. You know what I mean? No one's complaining about you downloading a copy of, you know, bloody, I don't know, Power Stone
or something.
It's a game which is ages old, and let's face it, you know, you can get a copy online secondhand, and the original developers don't get any money from that either. So there's no issue with that. But these.
But I think the point you're trying to make, Mike, is that is that the Dreamcast community, even though we're in the midst of it ourselves, it's actually quite a lot smaller than we probably think it is. So for these indie developers to then put a game out and then sell 30 copies. It might be a bit of a wake up call. Like, shit, we thought we'd
That's
sell thousands.
Thing.
We
there's
only sold 30.
There's people on sort of assembler games, and people on Dreamcast Talk, and people on some of the people in our group who are the sort of hardcore people who will buy these games, and they will buy the games, and they will support the developers. We've got six.
Or in Scott's case, buy them 15 times.
There's nothing wrong with that. I've got 4 copies of Ghostblade. Not entirely sure why I've got Ghostblade 4, but I think the thing is that it's, we've got 6,500, 7,000 members in our group, and the vast majority are great people, but there are people who just will moan about stuff and ask for ISO zone links and stuff. You know, it's a bit, just support the scene a little bit, because if you want to have better games, you can't complain about the quality of games on the indie release schedule and then also ask for links to download them for free. I mean, like, there's a part of me which thinks at some point they've got to think and actually realise that by doing that, they're not going to have the quality of games they want. We've got some great games coming out in the next couple of years. Maybe Hypertension, we've got Slave, we've got some games that we can't talk about that look stunning. We know what's coming out. But if people are constantly going to just, you know, download them for free or not going to support the games that are coming out now, there will be no games coming out in a couple of years' time because people will realise there's no money in it and there's no way they can support it.
Yeah. But on that bombshell, Mike, should we talk about Hermes' music?
Please, Tom. Please. Let's end on a positive note.
Well, I've already said what I think. I think it's amazing.
Genuinely the best. I've listened to the CD when it comes with it. When you get the game, Hermes, it comes with a comic book, which sort of acts as a manual. And it comes with, the CD itself has the Windows and Mac ports on it, but it also has, it acts as a soundtrack CD. It's just to listen to it on a CD player, it's fantastic. It just,
there's a couple of tracks that I've had. I've just left them playing on the, like, on the Dreamcast, on the music menu, because they just sound incredible. It's like, it's really like just high quality chiptune music. It's just, and I'm listening to it, thinking, you know, I didn't realize the Dreamcast could do this kind of. Well, obviously, it's only playing music off a CD, but it sounds like proper like MIDI music, doesn't it?
It sounds like the best Amiga chiptune sounds. The day, and the sort of, you know, the quality of it reminds me of games like Wiz and Liz and Pugsy on the Mega Drive and that sort of British and European style game back in the mid 90s. The quality of the tracks is unbelievably high. I know one of the guys who did the music for it was one of the guys who did the soundtrack for Fruity as well, which wasn't quite as good because I think it just sort of looped quite a lot, the soundtrack for that. But yes, amazing quality soundtrack. Really, really good. Another thing which I think the indie scene has got to be praised for, the soundtrack quality of some of the games are just stunning.
That's it's a good game. It's a good game. It's well worth picking up if you haven't already got it. It's quite cheap as well. Yeah. Okay, I think that is a good point to leave that subject at, but it's a good segue to move into our next topic, which is that there's an Alice Dreams Tournament music CD coming very soon. You can pre-order it now from, let's have a quick look, at the it's a French website called, I don't know how you pronounce this because I don't speak French, but I think it's Cote Gamers, it's C-O-T-E Gamers. You'll find the article on our site. This CD is... it's got 27 tracks on it. I didn't think there were 27 tracks in Alice Dreams Tournament, but I do remember it having a really good soundtrack from when I played it, quite toe-tapping. And there's two original songs on it as well that aren't actually included in the game. But yeah, it's £12 with it's not free postage, but you know, if you're a hardcore Alice Dreams Tournament player, then you know you might want to. Have a look at that. It's just something else to add to your collection, I suppose. Yeah, I do keep seeing it. Well, before I deleted my Facebook, I did see them popping up every now and then with, like, you know, they're at a new tournament or somebody had written another article about their game. And I just, it's one of them, and it's kind of, a game will come out and it'll have all this, like, fanfare around it, and then it'll just kind of slowly kind of not. And also, I found it quite odd that, like, none of the mainstream sites covered it when it was released, because usually they're all like, new Dreamcast game, wah! You know, and yeah, I was quite disappointed, really, not to see anything given to it on the big sites, inverted commas. So, yeah, I suppose we are the site now, aren't we, for the Dreamcast, certainly, I would imagine. Yeah. So yeah, that's the that's one bit of news. Another bit of news is that Trickstyle is now available on the PC. It's on a Zoom platform, which is zoomplatform.com or zoom-platform.com. Interesting little side bit of information for you is that Bernie Stoll, is it Stollar or Stoller? I don't know how you pronounce his name. Deafening silence. Well, him of ex-Sega fame, he's basically in charge at Zoom Platform. It's kind of like a, It's yeah, like yeah. GOG, you know, good old games, but it's like DRM-free and they don't have as many games on there, but they're quite a lot cheaper.
Is it but yeah, they, like on live at all? Cloud or?
No, you download them onto your PC and that. So it's basically you buy a game and you get it on your hard drive.
Okay.
Yeah, but they seem to be adding games to their library in quite a regular fashion. And yeah, this is the newest one, Trickstyle. The only thing I really remember about Trickstyle, obviously I've got it, I've just not played it for that long, was how bad the frame rate was on some of the stages. That just stuck in my mind. Like, it's really jarring in places. Certainly on the London track. Sorry, James.
No, I recently had a go of it because that's one of the forthcoming videos for the YouTube channel, playthroughs, because there's an early launch title for the Dreamcast and the frame rate is shocking. And I didn't even know that, because I've never played it, that there was racing. I was stuck doing tricks and practicing. I thought this is all the game was.
In that arena at the beginning?
I thought, I can't...
It takes ages, doesn't it? Yeah, you're in there forever.
I can't go anywhere. I mean, so I got frustrated and thought, bloody hell, what's happening here? And so I decided to have a wander around and realised there's a USA and a UK section that I can go in, and it was actually all right. And it's a really difficult game, actually, to play with really bad frame rate, which is another reason why I played Sega Rally 2 Championship again, because there's a frame rate code that you can do on that.
Yeah.
I just wish they did that in Trickstyle.
Is that that's the one where it removes all the background details, isn't it? And it turns it, is it 60 frames a second or something?
Yeah, constant 30 frames per second, which is really, really good when you try and do good lap times for certain websites to get records. But I wish they did that on Trickstyle, because it's a really good looking game, but the frame rate just really annoys me. But hopefully on that, was it Zoom, did you say, platform?
Yeah, Zoom hyphen platform.
Yeah, hopefully that it runs a bit better on there.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that about that opening bit on Trickstyle, because I remember way back when I first got Trickstyle, I think I must have got it from Blockbuster or something, because when I first got my Dreamcast, I couldn't afford to buy any new games for ages after I got it. So I would always like pester my mum to let me get something from Blockbuster, and that was one of the games I got. And just like you, I was in that arena bit, and I was like, there was one particular challenge I had to do. I had to do some kind of like, it was like a slide or a grind or something on one of these rails, and I couldn't do it. I was doing it over and over again for about 3 hours. I was just like, this is shit. This is the shittest game ever. And it was only like later when I got it again, like as an adult, I actually had the patience to sit down and do those tasks properly, you know, and get out into the actual game proper. But it's bringing back memories.
On the video that I was doing, I was cutting. Basically, I did about 4 or 5 or plus attempts to try and do one of those sliding, grinding things that you're talking about. And, you know, even when you just get it perfect, it doesn't work. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's a very odd, very oddly designed game. But as you say, very nice looking in screenshots.
Just say as well, on the Zoom platform, there's not the only Dreamcast game on there. Expendables on there. And there is also, I forgot what game it was now. There's another game on there as well, which is obviously...
Is that the Smash TV clone?
Smash TV, TV claims going a little bit too far. It's a great game, Expendable. Really
yeah,
good.
I played it again recently, for the first time in a couple of years, and I forgot how much fun it was. You know, I love the terrain warping effect that is used. You know, like when you come to the bosses and stuff. That's really cool.
The other game on there, by the way, which is a Dreamcast game. Go on.
Let me guess. Is it incoming?
It is incoming.
Is it incoming?
Or something?
Yes!
Yeah. It's rages back. Even though I thought that. Without any of the
I remember.
Well, no, UEFA Striker was all right, wasn't it? Is that right?
UEFA Striker was all right. Striker? You say it was all right?
Yeah, that was.
It's all right.
go back to PES.
Sorry. You know what was that?
Mobile Forces from Rage is like a PC game. It was quite good. Nobody bought it, but it was quite good online.
Oh, yeah. Am I joking? Let's move on. Obviously, I'm wary of the time and it's dragging on. One other thing to do with Zoom platform. Obviously, because we covered the store and their game on our site, we were contacted by them to say thank you. And the gentleman who contacted me, a guy called Jordan, he works very closely with Bernie Stolar, gave us some information on some unreleased games that he was actually trying to get onto the Dreamcast. I'm going to probably make an article out of this anyway, but I don't mind talking a little bit about it. Apparently, he's trying to get World of Warcraft onto the Dreamcast, and he was in talks with Blizzard, quite sort of in-depth talks with Blizzard to get World of Warcraft ported over, but in the end, obviously, it fell apart. But that was really interesting to know, because I'd never heard of a port of World of Warcraft coming to the Dreamcast, so that's straight from the horse's mouth, not calling Bernie a horse, but I've asked if he wouldn't mind, you know, if he can be bothered to, like, maybe either do an interview with us or write a little blurb for the Junkyard, which would be really cool, to be honest, to get the guy who actually used to run Sega to write something for us. That would be amazing. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if it did, then that'd be great. So
can you imagine what it would have been like with World of Warcraft on
Dreamcast? Okay, well, it could have been very different, couldn't it?
I've never played World of Warcraft, so I don't know what it's about.
No, never have I either, to be honest, but I mean, I just know it's massive, so...
I was more of a Heroes of the Might and Magic fan, which was also due to come out on Dreamcast.
Wasn't that complete and then cancelled?
It's on one of my demo discs, yeah. I don't know if it's playable, but I think it's a video.
I think someone does have
for hours being wistful about games.
A rumour that someone does have the copy of it.
I believe so, yeah. I mean, on this topic, we could talk about Agartha as well, being that is in the hands of a collector, but... It's very, like, weird and clandestine. I didn't think owning a Dreamcast game in your collection could be so kind of smoke and mirrors, you know what I mean? It's all like, you know, secret email addresses and, you know, it's like, it's only a Dreamcast game that no one's ever going to play. What's the big secret deal like? So don't mention my name. Don't mention my name. Don't say I'm from this place or that place.
It's like when I went to a car boot sale many moons ago in Romford, where I'm from, and I was picking up all these GD-ROMs. There were loads of them. So all the pressed ones. And one of them was Red Dog 2. And I was like, it can't be Red Dog 2. Yeah, and I was like, what? But then I've eventually, like, thrown it away, and it was like Red Dog CD 2. You know?
But
they had all these different ones. They had, like, a different beta version of Sega Rally 2, which was a frame rate changer. But they had them all there, and I just, like, bought them all at the time. But then it blew, because there were so many copies or GD-ROMs or boot discs or whatever they were at the time, it ruined my Dreamcast, so then I just had to get rid of all the games. I just dumped them. So,
no.
Yeah, it was loads.
That's incredible. They must have been from Sega Europe then in that area.
Yeah, because I had the blue ones, the blue pressed ones, and the orange pressed ones.
There are people listening to this who literally going, oh my God, what have you done?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I'm not going to mention any names, but a friend of mine who used to work at Sega Europe during the time of the Dreamcast, Bob, my mate, he used to work at Sega Europe during the reign of the Dreamcast. He was telling me, he was regaling me with a tale of when they were told that the Dreamcast project was being sort of shit-canned, and when they were basically closing down the Dreamcast division at Sega Europe, he got a phone call, and it was from one of his colleagues saying, get down here now, because everything's being chucked. And he said he turned up in his little car and he went round the back and there was a guy there with basically those bin bags of stuff, and he shoved it in his car. And they were skipping everything. There was like dev units and everything in these skips. They were just destined for landfill. So he was there with his car, stuffing stuff in his car.
Stuffing into the car, had like a big moustache and like egg shape. Because I just have this image of the back of Sega Europe sort of turning all the Sega employees into little mechanical creatures.
If only. Anyway, yeah, so a little bit of a story there for you. And I think now is the good time to also mention that tomorrow, we're recording this on the 8th of September, but tomorrow is the 9th of the 9th, 17. And it's, the Dreamcast's 18th birthday.
Ooh, yay.
In America, even. It's 20-something, yeah. So happy birthday to the Dreamcast.
Funnily enough, Tom, get some plugs in. Your Super Dreamcast Anniversary Special feature I've got scheduled to republish tomorrow on T3.com.
Oh, really? Nice. That's cool. Thank you. If I was on Twitter still, I could retweet that, but I'm not, so I can't. social media, don't you love it? Anyway, I think that's probably a good place to leave this episode. It's been cool. Thank you very much for listening to us ramble and talk absolute nonsense for the last hour and a half. It's been quite enjoyable, to be honest. If you'd like to know more about the Dreamcast Junkyard or listen to any of our previous podcast episodes or just read the random articles that we churn out on an almost daily basis, then you can head to thedreamcastjunkyard.co.uk, or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thedreamcastjunkyard, or you can join our group and get involved in some flame wars. That's facebook.com/groups/Dreamcast Junkyard. And you can find us individually on social media. You can find Mike at...
space_turnip.
Yep, and you can find Rob at...
R. Nicholas J.
You know, when you say that, Rob, you always remind me of that that Yellow Pages advert. J. R. Hartley. and James, you can be found in various places. Where can you be found?
Jarvis 1983 UK is on Twitter.
And also, you're on YouTube in several places, and not just the Dreamcast Junkyard.
Yeah, the YouTube as well. So the Dreamcast Junkyard, I'll do some... I do videos there for you guys and answer all the comments that are coming through as well on the YouTube page. And yeah, you can find me in various different places.
Sorry, you can plug your own channel as well if you want.
Yeah, well, I'm itsmuchmore.com is my website. I've been running for about 10 years now. And yeah, you can just do a Google search for that. You'll find us on various other social media channels and all that sort of stuff.
Excellent. Very professional. Very professional. Yeah. And you can't find me anywhere because I hate Facebook and Twitter. So fuck you all.
No.
No. I do still run the Twitter account. That's at the DC Junkyard. So come and harass me there, please. Yeah, I think that'll do for now. We'll see you on the next one, whenever that may be. But for now, we'll see you on the flip side. Goodbye for now.
Bye.
Everybody say goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
Please stop this disc now.